Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Should have told you by now.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don Lambrow is our guest. Don is chief political correspondent with the Washington Times. He's also a syndicated columnist. Many of you see his column around the country every week, and he's a member of our Brain Trust and our friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's good to have you back, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I hope it will be.
I'm planning on it. I'm working on it. Those are my plans, and we're going to see if we can't make that happen. Don, there are some things though out there that over which you and I certainly have no control that could impact our new year, and I want to go ahead and get a couple of those out of the way. One of them is Iraq, and the other one is North Korea. Let's just have a little. I'd just like to hear a little bit of your thoughts. I know that you've written about both of those in the last. Well, actually, within the last week, you've written a column about both of those.
Well, of course, Iraq, the administration has been focused on it like a laser beam, and have not been deterred by the ups and downs, by the criticism,
the politics involved,
and the politics involved. And so this is something that the president, that the administration is going to do one way or another. This is going to be solved before the spring. There are different scenarios. Some people say in February. So we'll see. There's always a possibility, and the administration has held it out that this the end game of this could be that there would not be a war. That somebody in Iraq. His generals will take care of Saddam Hussein, or in some way the situation there, his regime will collapse.
Get a one-way ticket to Saudi Arabia or something.
Go down and
hang out with Idi Amin.
Right, and it could happen. But we don't know what's going to happen on that, except that I think we have to always be prepared for surprises. But he's got a great team with Cheney, Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And the president's in Powell, and the president's a pretty steely guy. He's got some great, we got great people in our armed forces. So I think it is going to be quick. It's going to be decisive, and I think it's going to be a major blow in the war on terrorism.
Yeah, and the despotism around the world.
Yeah, I think a lot of good things will flow from it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So that's all you can say about that at this juncture. It looms over our country because the uncertainty for our economy, for Wall Street, and that is a price we're going to pay. So that is the other side of the sword here. The administration wants to get this economy revved up. At the same time, they have their agenda in the war on terrorism, and so one kind of works against the other for the moment.
Don, one of the things, and I'm going to say something that I have not said up to now in the air. I am so proud of George Bush, and here's why. He's the only person in the world who could topple a hateful, murderous regime like the one they have in Iraq. He's the only human being in the world that could do that simply by being a tough guy. And he did it.
Yes.
That was his role. It was his role in life. Whoever the president was right now, it would have been their role to do this. And you know what? If Al Gore had been the president and he had done that, I would have been proud of him too. But I am so proud of that man for standing up and saying, you know what? It's my role. This is what I have to do, and I'm going to do it. And people who don't understand that without tough talk, people like Saddam Hussein don't listen. They don't pay attention to wimps and weenies. And if the people who have the ability to back it up, to back up their words, don't stand up, especially people who stand for the right things in the world, like America does. If they don't do that, then we're not filling the role that we should play.
And it's interesting the ups and downs of the critics on Bush and how he has really stared them down and kept focused and has not been deterred from his mission. Remember last year there was those who said that he hadn't made the case that we shouldn't be getting involved, that it was mm-hmm. too risky.
Right.
Of course, these are all the people after the 1991 Persian Gulf War who said that, well, we should have gone in and taken Saddam Hussein mm-hmm. out. These were the Monday morning quarterbacks.
Right. They were tough guys after that, weren't they?
Right. They didn't want to go in the first place. They mm-hmm. voted against the resolution. Then after it had been a huge victory, they said, well, we should have gone in and taken him out. And that was the mantra for months and months, for years. And now these people are saying, well, we shouldn't go in. There are more important things that we should be doing. No, he's kept his focus, and I kind of totally agree with you on that.
Well, I just think he's doing the right thing, and other people, our so-called allies around the world, who don't understand why he's talking tough. Well, he's having to talk tough because they're being such weenies.
Well, that's true. Of course, Great Britain has been a steadfast ally.
Great Britain has no question about it, and I'm proud of every one of the members, even the French. And I don't say that very often. I'm even proud of the French for voting for the resolution in the UN. Let's.
A stunning victory in the in the Security Council.
And, that quietened down. That quietened down a lot of the detractors.
Sure
I predict that that there either won't be any military action; it'll be resolved without that, or if there is, it will be something that won't even be called a war. I don't even think it'll be a war. I, that's my prediction. But talk to us about North Korea a little bit.
Well, complicated. It is not the same as Iraq. The arguments being made, and continually every night on the nightly news that we should be focusing on Korea. They're much more dangerous. They have ballistic missiles. They have nuclear weapons. But it's a different situation, and I think the way Bush and Powell are handling it is right. This is a diplomatic situation right now. I think during the holiday period, there was a two-week stretch there where the news media almost went hysterical on this issue and really sort of tried to turn it into a crisis
mm-hmm.
when the administration was holding its fire and not saying too much. And,
they were making the news instead of reporting it, weren't they?
It was. Of course, we all know it was a slow news period. Nothing else was going on.
Yeah.
And so this was supposed to be a crisis. I don't think the American people really bought into that. I think they are much more skeptical about the way the news media reports things.
When we hold on to that thought, Don. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Don if this thing in North Korea isn't more of an opportunistic event rather than a long-term strategy. I think the guy's taking advantage of the situation between U.S. and Iraq. And I'm going to ask Don what he thinks about that. And we're going to talk about politics in the United States in 2003. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email. Don Lambrow is our guest and our good friend, member of our Brain Trust. He's chief political correspondent with the Washington Times. He's also a syndicated columnist. And folks, if you go to washingtontimes.com, and type in D-O-N-L-A-M-B-R-O, Don Lambrow, into the search engine, you will find the most recent columns that he has written, and the last one, I believe, the last one was on the North Korea threat, and then the one just before that was about Iraq and some other things. So check that out. And Don, how many newspapers are you in around the country?
About 40.
So look for his byline whenever you can. Don, it seems to me that North Korea started playing nice with Japan a few months ago. And it seems to me that there have been some conversation with South Korea. In your article recently, you reported that a number of South Korean businesses are running small factories in North Korea. Now, tell me that there's anything but opportunistic, seeking some kind of an opportunity in all this for North Korea to be building a nuclear reactor. It makes no sense to me right now. Other than that,
it doesn't. Of course, all the analysts, the armchair analysts, and the analysts in the administration are all trying to figure out just what Kim is up to. Is he trying to uses its leverage to squeeze more aid out of the West, out of the United States. This is a country that is famine-stricken, impoverished.
The people are starving.
Poorest countries in the world, in terms of their threat as a world power. I mean, this is when you are an impoverished nation, you're not going to be able to mount any kind of an aggressive and sustained military action against anyone.
Economically, they're a ward of China, aren't they?
Right. So we forget that, and this is a country that has a huge army. I think the third largest, 1.2 million. But they're also facing South Korea, which has an immense army, plus the United States of America there, and they're surrounded by major powers, China and Japan and the Asian Tigers on the Pacific Rim. So, to say this is a crisis, it's serious. It's something we have to contend with and deal with. But what are the other reasons? It could be that he just wants to become a nuclear power. That's the only card he has to play, that he wants to be a big player on the world stage and feels he has been dismissed. He did not like, certainly, the president accusing his regime in North Korea as one of the part of the axis of evil.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many reasons here why this is happening, and I think you're right. He is doing this for some sort of leverage and gain. Where that's going to take him, I don't know. I think this is something that, as Paul has said, we have to deal with diplomatically, and we have to use our allies in the region, China, Russia, Japan, and South Korea. I'm not totally opposed to the new push by the new administration in South Korea to try to continue the opening, as they already have started.
Even though they were pro, the regime was supposedly anti-American. They're really kind of they're doing a little bit like the Germans are. They're sort of changing their stripes a little bit after the election.
Right. I think the administration is not so much, the South is not so much anti-American, but pro opening up and contending and dealing with relations with gradually with the North and hoping that like China that they can make some progress and that eventually North Korea will go the way of China and become know that only in a capitalist economy can you feed your people and climb up to the next rung.
By the way, one quick fact: South Korea, 100% of South Korea homes are hardwired for the broadband connectivity to the internet.
That's right.
Yeah, and
that's
that was done by
opening.
The government. Don, let's change horses and talk about politics. I've only got about 2 minutes. What's going to be the big political news in 2003?
Well, I think it's going to be a time of consolidation. I'm not sure there's going to be any big political news, except that today, at this hour, at this minute, I guess, the two-year presidential cycle begins.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of Democrats are going to jump in and declare their candidacy against a president who was enormously popular in the upper 60s and 70s. And if he's successful in the foreign policy front, if he gets his number one domestic initiative passed this spring, that'll, of course, will be the tax cut economic stimulus plan. I think he's going to be unbeatable, but politics is unpredictable.
Ask his dad about that.
The Democrats are going to they've been beaten badly in the last election. They've got to consolidate and find a way to find a message. They have new leaders in the House and elsewhere. And so I think the Democrats are hurting, and they're going to be searching around. We haven't seen really what their message is.
Right.
And the Republicans seem to have a strong message. Did certainly in the fall. They got to get this economy going again, no matter what happens with Iraq or anywhere. If he has to get the economy going,
and that's got to happen.
Bush is vulnerable.
That's got to happen with fiscal reform. Don, one last prediction: who's going to be the front runner in the Democrat side a year from now?
Well, I would say right now at this juncture, I would say it's Kerry, if only for the reason that the people, the candidate running in Massachusetts next door to New Hampshire, the first presidential primary, which usually often is the springboard for the Democrats, wins. Dukakis next door, of course, won the Democratic primary there, and late Senator Zongas won.
Mm-hmm.
And Kerry is next door. The TV market in New Hampshire is from Boston. So I would see him winning the New Hampshire primary, and that would be the springboard. And then he's got to prove that he can contend with Edwards and the others in the South.
Don, I got to wrap it up. I'm sorry. This is so much fun.
That's okay.
Hope to come back again real soon.
I'd like to do it.
Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year to
Don
you.
Don Lambro, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I got to take a quick...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.